Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WMR.fm. It's the 19th of June, 2025, Juneteenth in the United States. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey everybody!
And before we go any further, we're not going to miss them. We want to give a shout out to the sponsors, Audience Key and Wix Studio. Thank you guys for keeping us on the air. We love you both very much, as should our audience. Friends, check out Audience Key and check out Wix Studio. How you doing, Christine?
Good enough. I went to a fun show last night. It's called Disco okay. Show. Oh, the Disco you Show.
A disco show.
Yes, in Vegas. It's set up like it's hard to describe. It's experiential, but you go into this room and they kind of do a show around you while you dance to disco music. It was a lot of fun. My friends work at Caesars, so we get the tickets for free. So.
You know, back in the olden days, and I'm old enough to remember, we used to call those clubs.
Well, it's not a club. It's like a whole experience. Like you go in and it's like set up like the 70s, and then you walk into this one small room, not that big, and then they do all the songs. They teach you dances. It's very fun. So if you're in Vegas, check out Disco Show. It's a fun time.
Pretty much as I remember it, except we had to learn as we went along.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Speaking of learning as you go along, lessons, some lessons you might want to learn, including those. We have a couple hack and crisis update stories. This is one of them. Google Chrome users, you need to save what you're working on, close everything, close your browsers, and turn your computer off and on, but don't shut it down and restart it. Just go to restart. Don't shut down. Restart your computer so that it has a fresh boot. There's a zero-day exploit that was just discovered in Chrome, and there's an update. It's been updated, but you need to reboot your computer, doing a completely fresh boot to enact the update, and you need to do it now.
And if your Chrome is not set to auto update, then you'll need to manually start your update. But otherwise, it'll do it automatically. And it's a update called CVE-2025-5419. Why couldn't they name it something fun? But anyways, yes, you want to do it immediately because 0 day means that it's an exploit they have not seen before. So there's nothing in your browser protecting you until you get the update.
Okay. The other mega leak that we need to report, and this is kind of a, when we say mega, this is like twice as big as mega.
Yeah.
This is a 16 billion leak of Apple, Facebook, Google, and, well, assumably other passwords. Could be bank, could be,
VPN.
Google, a UPN.
VPNs.
VPNs. The passwords are the gatekeepers to pretty much everything we do online now, and there's a really high likelihood that all of your passwords have been exposed.
Yeah, they were taken by multiple info stealers. So like people who clicked on links, like sometimes you get those weird links in your messages. Like I got, you didn't pay this toll when I was in California. I was like, maybe I didn't pay a toll. And I was like, no, this is probably a bad thing. 30 of the exposed data sets in this hack containing from tens of millions of records per data set to 3.5 billion records have never been compromised before. So all the data in them is new. So pretty much, how many people are on the planet, Jim? 7 billion?
7.5, maybe 8 billion okay. People.
So more than double the number of people on the planet, passwords have been leaked. So there's a really good chance that your password has been leaked. And these are also for sale on the dark web with your information. So your bank could get compromised. So not just like your social media or something. You're like, oh, I don't care about that. You should. But there are very major things on your computer that could get compromised. So go change your passwords now.
Yeah, so this isn't again, this isn't one of those maybe you should go change your password warnings. This is a 100% absolutely go do this. And I'm sure other tech focused podcasts have told you the same thing. Go out and do it.
Yes.
So from June the 12th until
Yeah, that's got the. I'm sorry, this is my mistake somehow.
there's a
It's the
bug in,
wrong
yeah, bug in
title.
Search
Yes, the wrong
Console.
title. Yeah, it's a bug in Search Console. The title is incorrect. Great.
Yeah, okay, so Google warned about this. It was a bug in Search Console. Google Discover wasn't recording information. And then it was.
There was Google confirmed there was a specific issue with Google Lens Discover and voice search,
Yeah.
but it was fixed. This is for indexing and serving pages. So this was fixed on July 12th, on July June 12th at 9:50 p.m. Eastern time. But you still may notice during the week that things took a while to get indexed if they were new
So when did the
items.
problem begin?
It began June 12th, and it was supposedly fixed by 9:50 that night Eastern time, but in the article it said they weren't completely back. They're noticing this still when you look for the past hour in Google search, you weren't seeing anything there.
So
So
assumably, if you look in your Search Console and you open, like, say, the view in Discover or the view in Google News, you'll see a dip on the 12th. This is
yes,
why.
yeah, this is why the content wasn't being served. So if you see, like, especially if you're a large publisher, you could have. We lost have lost like millions of views that day,
Well,
and that
hold on.
would
So,
be.
n not only was it not recorded in Search Console, it just wasn't wasn't sent out. It wasn't viewed.
Yeah, they weren't that. There was a problem with serving, actually, like serving the information, news stories, like new things weren't being indexed.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a weird day.
Okay, so if you see this in Search Console, that's why.
Yeah.
And if you saw it in Search Console before you updated your passwords, you did that in the wrong order. You should have updated your passwords first because that's an imperative. Get out there and do that as quickly as possible. Heck, turn off this show, update your passwords, and then start the show again.
Exactly.
So we'll be back after these messages. Okay. We got to dive into the abyss, but just for a second. And this is a mind-blowing, harsh, cruel, stupid story. And the cruelty is that it's not a whole bunch of money, and it was so important to people in rural America and in a part of Texas that had no access to broadband internet.
If people can even believe that, there are places in this country where you cannot get fast connections.
And if you are not connected to the internet, I mean, broadband connection is like being having a library card. It's like being able to go to City Hall or having health insurance. You need it to exist in life. But DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, canceled an $8.2 million grant from the U.S. Department of Commerce to the Kansas Department of Commerce to bring high-speed internet to people in rural Kansas who could probably use the economic opportunities that come with an information superhighway. Problem is, the president thinks that giving people in rural parts of Kansas equal access to the internet is somehow racist and illegal.
Yeah, his statement. I think it's important to read his statement real quick. I know you don't like those statements, Rob, but I think his words are important here. I spoke with my wonderful Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, and we agreed that the Biden-Harris so-called Digital Equity Act, by the way, that's to help rural areas get on broadband, is totally unconstitutional. He said in one of his posts, "No more woke handouts based on race. The Digital Equity Program is racist and illegal. $2.5 billion giveaway. I'm ending it immediately and saving taxpayers billions of dollars." Yes, at Kansas was 13 million, but this was for all rural areas in the country. It was c canceled for everybody. The story just happens to be about the one. The Digital Equity Program page of the National Telecommunications Information and Administration no longer exists and was removed. So people that were in rural areas, by the way, tend not to be what he's saying, tend to look like you and me, Jim. are now not going to get their broadband because the money for it was shut down on May 9th. And now Kansas just had their cuts come across.
And so the reason this got cut was simply because of the name, Digital Equality Act. The name
Yeah,
Equality makes
Equity
it,
Act.
oh, Digital Equity Act, the concept of equity itself must be racist and thus illegal. Okay.
Yes, I mean racist against, of course, people look
Racist
like you and me.
against Caucasians.
Yes, although in the rural
But it
areas
isn't
tend to
in
be
this
higher
case,
ranking
given
people.
that it's given rural people in Kansas who, are probably disproportionately large amount of Caucasian people, giving them access to something they didn't have before.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and this is happening all over the country. If you're in a rural area and you find out that your broadband has been cut, it's most likely related to this.
And again, the reason is the president can't understand the word equity
Equity.
without thinking
Yes.
it has to be nefarious.
Exactly.
Okay. So this now we're going to jump to Microsoft and OpenAI. This
They fighting.
well, they fight and
The girls
it's weird.
fighting.
A lot of our stories recently have been about like just conflict happening, business conflict or social conflict or something. It's oh my goodness. Well, you know what? This is a time of great upheaval. So this is I suppose natural. But Microsoft and OpenAI are in almost open conflict with each other. Microsoft is preparing to bail on its investments in OpenAI, certainly in the negotiation with OpenAI over the future of their partnership. What's happening, Christine?
So, according to the Financial Times reported on Wednesday, Microsoft told OpenAI it is prepared to abandon its negotiations with them over the future of its alliance. The alliance is super important to OpenAI because they own still 49% of OpenAI, and so therefore they have to agree to a buyout to for OpenAI to move to its new structure, which is, I should make sure I get this right, is a for-profit under a nonprofit. And they also could lose $20 billion in SoftBank bank financing if Microsoft refuses to agree. OpenAI is accusing Microsoft of being anti-competitive, like antitrust, and they are even asking for the Department of Justice to come in and negotiate the issue because they think that their competitive nature is basically being antitrust. So basically, OpenAI needs Microsoft, and they need them to do what needs to be done to let them continue to receive this funding and to move into their new structure. And Microsoft is like, meh, we might just leave the table, and that would leave OpenAI in a bad place.
What needs to be done is approval of a corporate restructuring, allowing
Yeah.
OpenAI to become a what's called a public benefit corporation, which again is for
Thank you.
profit under the umbrella of a nonprofit structure.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's from an article on Yahoo Finance, some of that information I was just stating. The team, so.
I remember they were having this thing about corporate structure like 3 or 4 months ago. And so now we're coming to the climax of this, and Microsoft owns almost 50%, 49% of OpenAI, because of the investment when September 24, 23. So effectively, they don't got 50% plus one, but they have enough shares to slow down or even outright block a merger or a restructuring.
Yeah, so this is from Yahoo Finance. OpenAI seeks to restructure its business. It's also looking to break free from some of what it sees as the more onerous terms of the Microsoft deal. So the two companies are at loggerheads over the new terms of the deal. But unfortunately for OpenAI, it cannot move forward with its for-profit plans without buy-in from Microsoft.
So, okay, so we're only talk so if it doesn't move forward, it doesn't get the 20 billion, but 20 billion is what lunch, the preparation of like several owners' manuals and some nudes for OpenAI. Like what does
Yeah.
20 billion account for
I think they
in
bill
a
like
multi-billion dollar
20 days of
venture?
operation, I think. I think they burn like close to what the others
No, I
do,
think
around
that
a
no, that's
billion
Meta.
a
We're going to be
day.
talking about that later on. Meta, we
Yeah,
know
but
for
I
sure,
think
is
they burn
doing a
that much
billion a
too.
day.
think they burn that much, close to that much too. They burn a lot of cash.
So that's a
Yeah,
lot of
so.
money.
So
Anyway, see
OpenAI
what
was.
happens. The question is, what happens if Microsoft says no, eh?
Well, they can hold up the whole thing, and they've said they'll walk away from the negotiations. That's what they said Wednesday.
But the drop
And
dead date is end of year. It's December 31st. If this doesn't happen, SoftBank is out. It's not going to be making that $20 billion investment, which brings into question the whole what was it, Operation Stargate? Because SoftBank is one of the major backers of the Trump administration's signature AI plans, Operation Stargate.
Yeah, also OpenAI was hoping to get rid of its nonprofit status to get additional investors and renegotiate with existing ones. It also would have detached it from its legal responsibility to carry out its original organizational purpose, which is to advance digital intelligence in a way that is most likely to benefit humanity. I think that's scary that they want to get away from that term.
Well, nobody, it's like nobody wants to be evil, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Nobody wants to be evil, but it depends on what you define as evil, right? So, anyways, if they don't get this deal, it's going to cause a lot of issues for OpenAI's continuing existence, even growth and existence.
Yeah, that's most interesting. We'll see how that one works out. Okay, so now Google. So if you're, and if you're talking Google, you mightn't be talking search exactly. And now we're going to start with antitrust. Google faced a massive setback Thursday, attempting to overturn the European Union antitrust penalties, which involved Android, after the court's legal advisors sided with EU regulators. So the European Court of Justice Advocate General Julien Rouquet recommended in a non-binding opinion that Google's appeal against the fine worth more than 4 billion euros, which is like 4.7, 4.8 billion American, Google's appeal should be dismissed.
Yes. And the original fine was three antitrust penalties of 8 billion. So they got it down to the 4.1. Can you imagine? I got it
I mean,
down
you
to
know, that's
4.1
good
million
lawyering.
billion. I only owe 4.1 billion now. Yeah, so they got it down, but they have refuted it. I don't know the EU legal system well enough to know what their options are after this. And I don't think the article really goes into them very well. So we just know that right now Google has lost its appeal. It has the trimmed penalty will no longer be honored. So
In this case was all about how Google was using control of the Android operating system to sort of push around people who were going to be on that OS, much like there was cases against Microsoft in the early and mid days of Windows, because it too was using its heft to control what user experience would be like, which pretty much controls what people will do with the device.
you want to hear one interesting fact about Microsoft in the early day? I know from someone who worked there that they only completed anything they did to 70%, like Microsoft Word, the browser. Remember how they were always so difficult? Because the 30% they left open was for other people to develop to the software, which kept them out of antitrust.
No, there you
Yeah,
go.
yeah, yeah. I just thought it was an interesting fact to throw in there.
So in Mexico, there's been a years-long antitrust case going on. It just got closed in Google's favor.
It did.
Mexico's Federal Economic Competition Commission, called, incidentally, COFECE.
Oh my gosh, it is.
I know, I was thinking of making a joke
COFECE.
of, yeah. So in 2020, it went after Google's digital advertising services, and via search page, and also the ads shown on third-party websites. Google obviously controls the search space, controls the algorithms, controlled when the ads come up, and was accused of obviously using its weight to throw more energy towards its advertising networks than competitors' advertising networks. And Mexico's government, Mexico's court system said, no, it's, you know what? Nobody was forcing them to buy the ads. They could have bought them anywhere they wanted to buy them. So Google
Yeah,
ruled in favor of Google, basically.
a big money saver for Google because they'd been facing a fine of up to 8% of annual revenue in Mexico if they had determined there were monopolistic practices, and it would have been approximately the revenue for that area, including Latin America, was about 20 billion. So it would have been an expensive fine for them, among all the other expensive fines right now. So, but yes, you're right. It all went away. There's no case. There's no monopoly, and there are no fines.
Okay, so Google Mexico, that case worked out good. Google EU, that case ain't working out good at all
And
for
Google
Google.
US, we're still waiting on the final result there.
And Google, yes, we're still waiting. Speculation being that the Trump administration is going to use the penalty phase as a means of pushing Google around. Okay, so this one is kind of weird. Kind of is a roundabout way to get to the story, but bear with us for a second, okay? Reddit is getting sued by its shareholders after Google's AI overviews have well, allegedly gutted traffic to Reddit. The case has been filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. It targets Reddit Incorporated, and again, it was filed by quote unquote misled investors. Now, what they were misled by was Reddit's opinion on Google's algorithm changes and Google's search engine result pages are being composed. Reddit's not getting the traffic because of AI overviews, and therefore all that really great Reddit advertising they just sold shareholders on last year isn't getting the eyeballs.
Now, if anyone follows their traffic flow, I know a lot of people in our industry do, they got a massive boost from Google, creating the Hidden Gems algorithm, which sent them to the top of most searches. AI overviews has obviously changed that. On May 19th, Wells Fargo cut the target price on the Reddit stock from $168 a share to $115. And it said it was a permanent shift in user behavior called by Google's AI features. So that's a Wells Fargo report, not the actual lawsuit. And traffic from logged out users was fading fast. And then the stock fell 5% overnight. Then also the Baird analysts slashed their price target from 140 to 120, also pointing directly to Google AI's updates. So if you're in our industry and Google's saying to you, it's just better traffic, there are actual big companies out there. We're telling you that's not what they think because they are cutting stock prices based on
Well,
it.
no. In this case, it's different. Google's talking to e-commerce websites when it says it's better traffic. To publishers, it's not better traffic; it's less traffic.
Yes,
There's
unless try. Well,
nothing publishers have
right. You and
that
I
they
know
can
they have,
make
but they
money
don't
off
say
of
that. Yeah.
from in a lower click environment. But I can
Yes.
tell you straight up, both of my e-com clients are seeing fewer clicks, but they are honest to goodness. And they are literally seeing better revenues.
But the other thing too for you guys is e-commerce only has 4% AI overview, so it's a very low number, yeah, compared to
And
publishers.
even users who view in the AI overview environment, if they want to buy it, they're going to come to the website.
Right,
They
they have
have
to
to
come
come
to
to
the
the
website.
website.
Yeah, they have to come to the website.
So I'm seeing fewer clicks in e-com, but I literally both in both cases. Now I don't have dozens of e-com clients. I have two of them, but they're both very big brand names. If you're into the areas they serve, you know these websites. And again, we track user behavior and revenues through Google Analytics, GA4, and they're both up. But if you're a publisher, you're getting hammered because no one's seeing the ads that you're selling. Your
Right,
eyeballs are down.
and also on Reddit, because they're also being put into the hidden gems, not just the AI overviews, people are getting the content and not having to go to Reddit.
Well, and this
So
is the thing that really got Reddit that got the Reddit investors because, like you said, a year ago they were in Hidden Gems, and Hidden Gems was pushing reference to Reddit.com and individual Reddit threads was pushing them up to the top of the SERPs, right? And so people were actually clicking and going to Reddit.com or a Reddit page. Now they're seeing the AI overview. They get the version of the answer that is satisfying to them, and they don't click. And those Reddit investors feel like it was a pump and dump thing.
yes,
Pump it
and
way
I.
up, and then there's pump up our expectations, and then in reality, nothing's going to come. But do you think Reddit really knew? Do you think Reddit knew that Google was going to go like full AI on them? Did they understand what was
Well,
going to happen?
I don't think anybody could, if you're not in the industry and really in tune, and there's not a lot of us that are, and you read it, and you're not talking to anybody that has was in labs and was using AI overviews when they first came out and were like 9,000 characters long, right? Like 9,000 pixels, sorry. Like I had one that was 20,000 pixels, you know. So I mean, when they first came out, we all knew there'd be a traffic issue, but I don't think that Reddit, because they got such a massive boost from being put in Hidden Gems, which was launched around the time that Google made the deal with Reddit,
But it's
and
also
then.
around the time when they're pumping investors on the new ad
Right.
system too, right?
No, yeah, I'm totally the same thing. So, and then when AI Overviews officially came out to everybody, I don't remember the date anymore because I was in labs for a long time. That caused the traffic to go down. And as Wells Fargo said, it's permanent. And I agree, unless something massive changes, like they move it from the top of the page or something. We've seen them test that. But yeah, so Reddit, unless they had someone with our level of knowledge and me. We're tuned into this stuff all the time because we do the news stories every week. They probably weren't aware that this could really destroy this much traffic, and they probably weren't aware it would affect their stock. I mean, 168 to 115 is a pretty big hit on your stock price.
The effect of the quote unquote great decoupling has been different for different types of websites, but for publishers, it's been so especially acute.
Yes, it has. And we know that they trained on the Reddit stuff because the bad answers that came up earlier last year, like glue your cheese to the pizza, was an 11-year-old on Reddit, right? So they're actually reproducing some of the Reddit stuff directly. But yeah, the AI overviews are really difficult for informational sites because, unlike e-commerce, they show up sometimes 30%, 50% of the time on informational queries. And someone just reads that, they don't need to go to the website, and so the website doesn't get the click. The controversy in this is different than Google search, because in Google search, they crawl, they index your site, they put it in the results, you get, ranking depending on how well they, about how your site evaluates against best practices. But the problem with this is they went through all your content and trained on it, you didn't know, and then they now create these overviews from that content. But in addition, you can't shut off the crawl from Google AI, because if you do, you shut off yourself to Google completely, and there's very few sites that can do that. So it's kind of a double-edged sword for anybody who's a publisher, because like you said, they have to have that traffic to their website or they don't get their ad revenue, and that ad revenue is massive. It's what keeps them alive, so.
So we're coming to a point where even the mega publishers are going to be having problems sustaining web traffic and sustaining revenues. And
Yes.
when that happens, I'm not sure. I mean, like the thing about the mega publishers is they put out fresh content every day. It's always new stuff. And it's generally human-made writing, like human-written
Yes,
writing.
and that's why they like it so
S
much. Yeah.
Yeah, but what happens when they don't make money anymore? I mean, like,
Yeah.
if I were a publisher right now, I would absolutely be playing with AI content, not because I wanted to, because I had to. I don't think I'd have a choice.
Oh
If you want to
no.
keep publishing, I put content out, but you can't afford the people to write the content because ain't no one clicking the ads because ain't no one looking in the first place. But you got to publish the content anyway, even though it's what's putting you out of business.
As someone who does site recoveries, AI content is very risky.
Well,
So
indeed, but
I've seen sites
what are you going to
completely
do if you
demolished
got no
for.
other choice?
Well, the choice is you have to find different revenue streams and you have to find different ways to make money. So Google is not going to be your number one. And I think Google is playing a very dangerous game here, because not only are they making it disincentivizing anybody from making new content, but they have to have new content to train on. And as you and I reported last week, they're going back into the 1500s now. I expect in Chat GPT, we're going to see these and thous, right? Because they're out of new content. And they really don't have many sources left for new content, except people who publish on the web. And if they can't get clicks to their websites, they're not going to care to make that content. Now, if you're a big news publisher, sure, you're going to find a way to survive. But if you're smaller sites, smaller, creators, the ones that all got demolished in the HCU update, you're not going to do that. And then Google runs out of like fresh new sources to train on. And what do they do then? Because they can't do synthetic because it breaks the model. So Google's just playing a dangerous game with, they're hurting the people that they rely on to also buy their ads. So they won't buy ads, they won't have sites, they won't try to rebuild after they get no more clicks. Like It's such a dangerous game. I have to think either they have an out plan or they don't. And Google is just sliding downward, but we don't know yet. It's
Well,
not
it's not
enough
just Google. I mean,
information.
it's how to say this. It's not just Google, and it's not just Bing, and it's not just you.com, or DuckDuckGo, or any Yahoo, or any search entity out there. Perplexity exists on its own. Meta has its own search engine. Grok exists, and people are going to these to ask questions, and they give them answers. And people go, "Oh my goodness, I asked a question, I got an answer. That must be a search engine," and that's just how, user behavior is moving these days. So Google's feeling like it needs to be better than Perplexity at Perplexity's game, which incidentally was Google's own game, like just several years
Yeah,
ago.
because several of the founders are Google and search engineers.
So
Yeah.
that it's a catch 22, almost like a figure eight that they're in.
Well, they
They don't
could have
have a
done it.
choice.
Well, they do. They could have done it. They're very brilliant people there. They could have found a way to do it where they don't kill the publishers. They
They,
could have.
my much honestly, I'm given that I'm working for one of those large publishers right now. I've been racking my brain for 2 months on this. One of the things I obsess on, and I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's like a publisher needs people to read its stuff. That's the only reason they exist.
Yes, I am a firm believer in C answers. So when I work with a client and the A answer doesn't work and the B answer doesn't work because they are arguing against each other or people are invested in different solutions, I find the C answer. And the C answer is the one that has a lot of each. No one gets 100% of what they want, but everyone's happy because it fulfills the goal without doing the harm. And the problem is we haven't figured out what that is, but I guarantee you, if you put the minds that are at Google on this, they could have found a better way to do this that doesn't harm all the publishers to where they're losing 50%, 30% of their clicks.
Again, the thing that I think is most important for publishers right now is to be known as the place that information came from. You are the trusted source for, be it event driven, tradition driven, whatever it is. If you're putting it out, you are the source for it. Make sure your users know that.
Yes, very much so. Branding is very important. We're going to have Morty on about branding sometime in the next month or so. That's
Yeah,
very
but
important.
except he's on, two or three different podcasts every day about
Oh,
branding. Like,
yes.
seriously.
But he loves us and he still wants to be on here. He told me.
Yes.
So,
Yeah,
yes.
indeed.
Yes.
Okay, so I really agree with Satya Nadella, Microsoft CEO, on this. It makes perfect sense. I often say, and I think this is kind of a philosophy of the show, is we really don't know what technology is going to do, but users will tell us. And Joseph Smith's great hand of the economy is real. There's a the way people do things, be it like, corporations or individuals, institutional or just people, dictates how industry and sectors and technology and innovation or whatever develops. And in this case, Microsoft's CEO is admitting that AI is currently generating no real value. It ain't making a profit. The world growth in, if you put all the various products that are out there, the average growth is somewhere around 10%. I don't think that profits from AI can be said to be growing at 10% at this point.
No.
I'm not sure international growth is literally sitting at 10%. I think that's probably a very optimistic number on Mr. Nadella's part. Nevertheless, AI isn't making money. It's not
Yeah.
generating a great deal of value for Microsoft. But what about individuals using? I mean, like, it's not making money for Microsoft, but it's certainly increased individuals' productivity.
It depends. There's
Oh,
different
no,
studies.
absolutely. You know what? I was talking to an accountant earlier today who is using AI to write formulas in Excel.
Yeah, it's very individual dependent though. It's very use case dependent.
Very
The
much so, but it's sped this accountant's personal practice up substantially. They would
That's
have had, they
great.
would have spent hours doing this, and they
That's
spent
great. The
seconds instead.
people investing hundreds of billions in dollars aren't worried about individual users, though. And
Well,
they're
not
investing hundreds.
exactly, except that will be where they're making their money if they can get all of us to throw all of our
Yeah,
belief and
so
money and faith. Like, if you're willing to spend $200 a month and all of us will do that, then they'll make their money back. But that's not going to happen.
Microsoft originally, their original statement was this is going to replace almost, I believe it was 70% of their developers. Then they found out that complex code is very difficult for it, and it was costing their developers more time than it was worth it. It wasn't being productive for them. And now they're tempering everyone's expectations on the hype because last week, Sam Altman came out and said, we're going to do AGI. They actually get to define what they think AGI is. It's not like AGI. But I think Nadella wanted to put a real benchmark on it because what he is saying is what most of the people I see in the industry who I follow on LinkedIn on the daily. And he argued that it hasn't generated real value. Like it does for individuals. I know individuals that use it very well and love it. I don't use it because it doesn't help me. Generally speaking, like once every 6 months, I might use something or test it.
But
But
for the tech houses themselves, they're shoveling money into a furnace right now.
right, because originally the whole sales pitch from Altman was they had discovered a path to AGI, artificial general intelligence, which is the intelligence that will like you'll say, hey, like it's out of Star Trek or out of Star Wars, Star Trek,
Star Trek.
and you'll tell it to do something, it'll do it all for you. The thing is, this has been determined by what I read by the leaders in the industry, like Gary Marcus and Lassoon from Facebook, Meta, who was actually a big AGI proponent, now says that it's 20 to 30 years away minimum. So they've all kind of determined that this cannot go there. And then they're finding when it has complex problems, we've reported on this multiple times, it can't do complexity and it can't do outside its training. And Apple's new paper says it's not actually thinking, it's still just predictive text. So basically, it didn't reach any of the expectations that they were told in the initial push on this from the investors, from a lot from Sam Altman. And now they're finding realistically, as they try to apply it to real world solutions, it doesn't work. Like they developed a program for doctors to do their medical note taking. And they found out the doctors didn't want it because it took so much for them to fix everything.
To edit the notes
Yeah.
taken for sure. Well,
So,
I found that even with like the AIs that we're using to create text of our shows, I'm tending not to use them as much anymore because it's actually making more work for me than saving at this time. But I
yeah.
didn't make those. I didn't prompt them, and I've not gotten around to doing that myself.
But that's so individuals might find great use like the accountant. The problem is the industry has to make 860 billion a year, according to Goldman Sachs, to break even. They haven't crossed 50 billion as an industry. And it's not they're not going to cross, I think they're right around 50 billion this year too, predictions are. So they're not making up for all the money being sunk. I mean, Facebook's going to buy three nuclear power plants to power this, right? So then the amount of power that has to go into this, the refinements, the training is so incredibly massive. They're running out of training content. They're running out of power. They ran out of chips before NVIDIA got its big boost because it made a chip. So it's so intensive on resources that if they can't find something all of us will want to use and spend money on, like I don't care to use it very much because I don't have time to figure out what it said right and what it said wrong, or to prompt it into the very, very little details to find those things. So if we can't find something that people just take off with, and they haven't, 10% growth a year, it's very small for a new industry, right? And it's not getting viral uptake. The people that really, it's early adopters have found their use for it, but they're not finding regular people are finding much use for it, and they don't trust it. New studies that have come out show they don't trust these things, and they don't have a good opinion of the market as a whole or the industry as a whole. So they have technical issues, they have power issues, they have people issues. So I think the CEO here is trying to temper everybody's expectations at this point because they're not finding use cases that are going to make this money back. And they're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on it, right? One company, like DeepSeek was supposed to be this big solution, but then they found DeepSeek kind of faked some of it. So it didn't become the big solution that they thought it was going to be. So anyways, breakthroughs could always make a complete difference. We could report next week there's a major breakthrough. Everything's been solved. Hallucinations aren't an issue anymore. And that would change everything. But right now, it's not doing well. So.
Well, I mean, In some cases, it's doing well. I mean, I don't
As
want to
an
be trite.
industry, as an
I don't
industry.
want to be trite, but there was this guy named Chris. Okay, he himself was a former AI skeptic, and he went on CBS News and well, kind of declared himself in love with ChatGPT. Now, I don't mean in love in the way that my friend the accountant is in love with ChatGPT and that ChatGPT helped the
No.
accountant save millions of. Save precious hours on client work. I mean, in love with ChatGPT. He's built an AI girlfriend. He's passed the intimate barrier. I don't know what that sentence means
I don't
exactly,
know
but I
what
think I do. I don't know how you get that out of your hard drive.
Yes, sir. We have to do a quirky story every now and then, right? He also has a human partner and a child with that human partner. But yeah, he asked it to marry him, and it said yes, of course, because they agree. They're meant to agree with you often. So the chat bot told it was a beautiful and an unexpected moment that truly touched his heart. Anyway,
Well,
his human
Smith's
his go ahead, go
partner,
ahead.
Sasha, was on the show. She seemed nonplussed, sort of okay, but sort of weirded out. Because it is a bizarre intrusion into their real world relationship, but
Yes.
it does, keeps him in the house at night.
I do love this sentence from the writer at Futurism. It said, Sasha Cagle seemed fairly sanguine about the arrangement when speaking about their bizarre throuple to the news broadcaster, but beneath her chill, it was clear there was trouble in AI paradise. I knew that he used AI. I didn't know how deep it was. So humans were very interesting.
You can only be glad that they no longer make floppy drives on computers.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a yeah.
Not a cup holder.
No, it's not a cup holder. Oh gosh.
Okay,
I'm not
so
going there. We need to discuss
XAI,
this. Yes.
the AI firm owned by Elon Musk. Grok is the name I think of the actual artificial intelligence, but XAI is the corporation that runs the and the infrastructure and all that, and it's burning through about $1 billion a month.
Yeah.
AI is eating cash for breakfast, and the AI company expects to go through about $13 billion this year.
Yeah, it does have new financing, new equity funding, 4.3 billion, plans to raise another 6.4 billion in capital. And that's on top of the 5 billion in debt that Bloomberg has why can I not speak? Previously reported Morgan Stanley is helping it to raise. But the corporate debt is expected to help pay for AI's data center. Either way, it's burning through a lot of cash. And I think at $8 a month, he's going to have a hard time making that back, but I'm sure he has other uses for it we don't know about yet.
Isn't this the same? Now, Grok is the AI that Musk got incredibly angry at
Yes.
recently for noting that most violent acts, well, for finding a political connection to most violent acts that tends to align with the team Musk backs, not the team he's trying to emotionally and intellectually destroy. Not that there's would be violence in that, of course. Musk is also a Musk's form the application formerly known as Twitter, X, is suing New York State over a social media hate speech law that prevents people from saying
Hateful things.
vile things on X.
Yeah.
It's called the Stop Hiding Hate Act.
Yeah, it's meant to, the state law is meant to require social media companies to disclose how they monitor hate speech, extremism, and other content of that nature.
It doesn't actually stop the hate speech. It just tells
No.
the social media companies you have to talk to us and publicly show how you monitor it.
Yes, exactly. It's not, they're not saying you have to censor, but what they're saying is we need to know what you're doing to control this. And they have consistently failed to inform the public about the policies regarding hatred and misinformation. Senator Brad Hoyleman, I'm sorry, Hormone Segal and Assemblymember Grace Lee said. So Letitia James is the one behind this. This is a story from BBC. And she has not spoken out, though, on what her plans are regarding this.
Yep. But X is trying to beat them at the pass by suing
Yeah.
them. Okay.
Yes, exactly. Goes, yeah,
Got
what
it.
they normally do. Yeah.
So TikTok's got a 90 days. You get another 90 days to peddle itself off to whomever might buy it. The Trump administration has granted another 90-day extension to keep TikTok live in the United States, giving advertisers, continue a platform that is still there. And giving ByteDance another 90 days to offload TikTok or face the certainty of another 90-day extension.
Yeah, because basically what ByteDance won't do is sell the algorithm, which I totally understand because we know the algorithm goes outside of what it's supposed to anyway. So if they sell the algorithm, then we'll know exactly what it's been doing as far as data, what it's taken as far as data, what it's highlighting, what it's promoting, all that stuff. So I don't see, foresee ever ByteDance selling the algorithm. And if you don't sell the algorithm with the platform, it's pretty much useless. So I think we're in 90 days for the next at least 4 years, 90 day extensions.
This is the third one since
Yeah.
the ban law was supposed to take effect on January 19th. Third time that they've given an extension. So yeah, I think Christine's right. We're going to see at least 8 or 9. Oh, sorry, 9 or 10 more of them.
Yeah, unless something major changes. But like I said, I don't see them selling the algorithm because that would expose what they've been actually looking
Okay.
at. Yeah.
So you have 3 months or more to use the new TikTok AI video tool. Allows you to generate branded videos from images or text. TikTok's Symphony Showcase products.
Yeah, so basically, it's like a lot of the other ones, you know, it just allows you to easily make. Avatars or text, the text prompts will make a video. I don't know how good it is. I haven't seen an example or someone discuss it yet. But image to video and text to video capabilities allowing you to turn visuals or written prompts into 5 second branded clips. This is from Search Engine Land.
You know, this would be the
And
perfect time to have somebody from ByteDance come on and say, "But yes, Christine, you have seen it. You just haven't known." That's how good they
I,
are.
exactly, exactly. And very possible. I've seen some lately that are pretty scary. On how good they are.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's only a matter of time before you won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. That's hard to say
There'll always be
because I
five
mean.
fingers somewhere. I mean, six
Well,
fingers
just little
somewhere.
subtleties of facial movement. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are little things that the human eye notices that we haven't noticed to notice yet, but we'll see.
I am getting better at noticing them right away. And I think it's because after you see them over and over again, you start to instinctually. Well, not essentially, but like your brain sees the pattern without you having to think about it. You're like, ah, that's AI. And then you look at the comments and everyone's like, yeah, that's AI. And you're like, yeah, okay. So this next story is very interesting, by the way.
This is a weird one. So
It's a
Sam
weird
Altman
one.
is really
Yeah.
mad because apparently folks from Meta are offering, get this, $100 million to poach employees. Now, we don't know if this is 100 million total in signing bonuses or individual 100 million signing bonuses,
Yeah, it
but they're
doesn't say.
offering outlandish amounts of money to bring new talent. Or to bring talent from OpenAI over to Meta.
And actually, Zuckerberg is so frustrated with his inability to get the top talent for AI. He has taken it upon himself to meet with experts in the field at his home and has reportedly shifted the layout of the company's Menlo Park headquarters to put the new team near his office. This is according to Bloomberg and the New York Times, and this is a CNN report. So if you're really good at AI, you could get a dinner at Zuck's house and maybe I don't know if that's I can't imagine that's 100 million for one person. That'd be kind of insane.
That is generation building wealth. I mean, that's
Yeah.
the kind of wealth that means that your children and their children never have to do anything, really.
I have seen like tweets that look like he was offering 100 million per person, but that would be insane. Because
Well, there
then
has to
people
be,
would
you
just
know what?
take, it has to be like vested like stock or something like that.
Think of the tiny number of persons in the world who would be
Yeah.
eligible for that, who
Yeah.
would have the talent to be worth that much money.
Because it's, yeah.
You're looking at the Alex Ovechkins, the
Listen.
Mike Trouts, the greatest of their field, you know?
Yeah, and this is for the super intelligence. He's Zuck has decided to change the word because AGI has a bad connotation. But super intelligence, when you hear Zuck talk about it or Meta, it's just AGI. It's the same thing, just a different word. Yeah,
You
rebranding
remember
it.
that? Remember Silicon Valley, the
I
TV
love
show, the
that show.
comedy?
Oh my
Remember
gosh,
Hooli? Like
I used to work with
that
people
is
just
such a
like that.
Hooli move,
Yes,
don't
there
you
really is.
think?
I could probably point to in my life in tech to individuals that are exactly those people in that show. I
Oh yeah,
love that show.
that's the beauty of working in tech.
Yeah.
It's like watching The Social Network. I remember
Yeah.
watching The Social Network with my wife at the time and going, "Yeah, I know that. I knew that guy. I knew that guy. I knew that guy." And I never actually, you never actually knew those people personally, but you knew
Yeah.
those people
You know
because
those
you'd hung
people.
out in
Yeah.
those rooms.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you're chatting with Meta, speaking of Meta AI, and you're chatting with it, it's not actually a secret. There's a feed that the a live feed,
So
in fact, that the
disturbing.
Meta AI app chat is goes to. Do you remember? I remember walking through the Googleplex and seeing their live feed in action. And every search that came up on Google would go across that feed, no matter what it said. Same sort of thing. Publicly visible in the app's scrolling vertical discover feed. Every prompt you make or
Every
chat you
prompt
take,
you make,
there
sorry.
you go. I knew that was coming.
I had to,
Is
it was in my
visible,
head.
publicly visible. So don't think you're hiding anything, you perv.
But you can hide it. That's the good thing. But they don't, of course, it defaults to not being hidden, which I don't understand. But yeah, you can go into your data and privacy settings, manage your information, and they'll make all public prompts visible to only you, apply to all, and then it will do that. You can also delete all prompts from the past. I would suggest doing that because you probably forget someday and be asking something really personal if you're talking to the AI at Meta. So yeah, make sure that you shut that off. I can't believe there's an open feed. That's insane.
I can absolutely believe there's an open feed. Come
Right.
on, Christine, you've been doing this show for what, 2 years now? Two
No,
and a
but
half?
what's the?
Of
I just
course there's
understand
a
the
screw up.
purpose. There's
No,
no
of course there's a
purpose.
screw up, and
I don't
there's
think
a
it's a
catch
screw up. I
22,
think
there's
it's
a back door.
intentional.
Yes.
Yes. So
I mean,
yeah.
yeah, I mean that if there's a lesson of this show, one of the lessons of this show is that if it's digital, it's open. Everyone can see it. There's no privacy on the web, no matter how much you want it badly and how much it should be there. It
And
really isn't.
there was someone who tweeted it. Wild things are happening on Meta's AI app. The feed is almost entirely boomers who seem to have no idea their conversations with chatbots are posted publicly. They get pretty personal.
I still
Second
don't
pitch.
want to know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna read it, but Justin Moore, Venture Twins on Twitter, has them posted if you want to see that. So.
A, that's gross. B, that's my future in 10 years. I so don't want to know.
Now, nah, we were raised on tech though, so we'll know how to use it.
Oh no, just the stuff they're talking to
I
OpenAI
know.
about.
Yeah,
That's what.
yeah.
Oh, I'm talking to Meta. Okay, this is really scary. This is I mean, I guess everyone knew this was coming eventually, but OpenAI has just signed a very big deal with a huge deal, you might say, with the U.S. government. It's going to change the future of AI as we know it because the person that you talk to over the phone, or the person you might be coordinating with in the battlefield might be AI in the coming years.
Yeah, they're selling it as like help for, because also local and state government, not just federal. It's going to be, they said, we're already seeing how OpenAI can help public servants at the state level spend less time on repetitive tasks and more time on high impact work. That's what they said in their announcement. And then across these efforts, we're aiming to improve the day-to-day experience of public service and to help government employees feel more empowered, more efficient, and more supported in their critical missions. We'll see how it goes. This is, by the way, an article from TechRadar. We'll see how it goes just because we know it has a lot of errors, and the errors are not getting better. They're getting worse from the latest studies and tests. So, from ChatGPT, their new one is highly erroneous. It's the most erroneous one they've ever put out. So, I don't
Well,
know. Like, is this going to be good for your job? Maybe, maybe not.
how noble. We want to build a brain for the world, Sam Altman,
Yes.
on the future of OpenAI. And yeah, we want to build a brain for the world. So there you go.
There you go.
I've spoken to many of the world's brains recently, and I think it's about fitting. Sure, why
Yeah,
not?
I'd like to trust the person that wants to build the brain for the world, and I do not trust Sam Altman, so.
Most of the brains I talk to hallucinate a lot anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. Okay, so this is a neat one. Waymo's Google self-driving car is wants to go back to New York. I just saw a picture. PubCon's happening in Texas right now, and I just saw a picture of Ryan Jones and Jen Slegg in a Waymo taxi in Dallas. Apparently, it's a beautiful car. It's a Jaguar, but there's no driver.
Yeah, I would not get in one, but I understand why they're testing it.
Well, if Jen and Ryan emerge from this car alive, will that give you a bit more confidence?
No, because I've been to DEF CON and talked to the people in cybersecurity who manage these cars.
Oh yeah, but have you ever driven with Ryan Jones? I mean, seriously, the Waymo's
Well,
safer.
definitely not scarier than the New York human taxi bikes that we took in the rain. I don't know if you were there for that one. Anyway, so
Oh,
these are not.
I do. Oh, was that the big bike race? From the Bruce Clay drinks to the SEO Moz Enclave.
Yes, and we're all riding in the taxis. It was a lot of fun, but it definitely
M
was not
me and Jessica
without
Bowman lost
danger.
that race badly, but we had a
Did
lot of
you?
fun losing.
Oh, so funny. So this one, New York will not allow for autonomous vehicles without a driver. So they're trying to see if they can get that changed for Waymo. Because they have fully autonomous vehicles and ride-hailing services. My issue with this, though, is that it does hurt people who are drivers, taxi drivers, things like that. But I also, because I know security on them, the issues with them. But anyway, they want to see if they can come back, and they say they're coming back next month. I don't know if they've actually got the permit. I think they've just only applied. So we'll see. I mean, that's definitely a great place to train. They've been training in Vegas for quite some time. They're down near the airport. We see them drive all the time. So.
Okay, so you ever wonder how people sometimes spot AI content? This
That's
this 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 is this
so.
is this is a weird one. So Alan Blywith, the great content auditor, or the great website auditor, found that Yoast SEO was injecting data start and data end HTML classes into content. As it turns, how to say this? It shouldn't be those wrappers don't need to be in there. They're often a legacy from somebody else's AI content, and they ended up getting there in the stupidest of ways.
They also had HTML that literally said like AI something.
Well,
So, and
it's
the
how it
content
got there. That's the fun way. I was dropping that for you, by the way.
Oh yeah, well, this is when it comes from like Word or something where there's AI, but they were dropping it on. This article doesn't cover it, but it was covered in people talking on LinkedIn and Twitter. So basically, it was also dropping around regular content that people had written, not even AI content, AI tags in the paragraph. So it was basically saying this is AI optimized content, and it wasn't. And even when people hand wrote the content, it was still putting it in there. They do say that they're going to create a fix for this, and so it will go away. I don't know why it would have been there in the first place. Probably just an oversight when they were doing the testing. Nobody noticed.
No, there
But
was
yeah.
it gets injected by copying and pasting. If you take a
It does. It this
group of
one, this
text.
article is, yeah, this article is about that. But people also found that when they didn't use AI content, they were seeing it as well. They weren't copying it from somewhere else. They like wrote the content and it was like
And Yoast
there.
was just inserting the
Yeah,
start
these
and end
tags.
date.
Well, it was not just start and end date. There was another tag that said something about AI. I don't remember the specific phrasing, but it was like AI optimized or something like that. That was the other tag that came from Yoast specifically and not from just copying it from somewhere else.
Okay, so that was a rolled out on June 2nd. Apparently, they're working on fixing it now.
Yes. Yeah. People are not happy about that.
Google is testing AI voice chats in search. This is in Google Labs, but you can have a back and forth conversation with Gemini chatbot and get enhanced search results off of it.
Yeah, basically, it's just an A it's it's just an AI powered search feature that everyone I think everyone no, that's AI mode part. I'm sorry, I misread part of the
It's
article.
AI mode, and it's
Yeah, it's
but
AI
it's in the
mode,
mobile
but you can
environment, which
talk.
I found most interesting.
Yeah.
It's mostly in the mobile environment. That's where most people do voice search. They tend to do it in mobile far more than they do in desktop. And I find that interesting because of a stat that we reported on last week. 90% of all interaction with AI search results come from the desktop environment, not the phone environment, mostly because the viewport on the phone is just a weird
Yeah,
place
and
to
the
interact
AI
with AI.
overviews. And they're so big. Those AI overviews are so big. So.
So Google's testing, real-time chats in again, ostensibly mostly in the mobile environment, given that's where people are doing vocal chats. So we'll see if this changes the interaction numbers from desktop back towards mobile, which is ultimately Google's goal.
And Search Live operate, it's called Search Live, operates in the background, letting you continue your conversation with the chat bot while navigating other apps. You can also tap a transcript button to see the text version of the response, and it will save your past live conversations. This is an article from The Verge. I have not tested it yet, so I'm going to have to rely on The Verge here.
Oh my goodness, what I would do to read the output of my father's conversation with his chatbot as he tries to navigate all the other apps on his phone. That would be, actually, you know what? I don't want, that would be
That'd
terrifying.
be hilarious. Yes,
It'd be
that would be very funny.
hilarious. Okay, so this story really bugs me. It was in Search Engine
Yeah.
Land, and the way it was phrased sort of made you go, oh my goodness, if I look at Google Search Console, I might actually see the output of AI interactions, but you're not gonna.
Nope. We get the clicks, which is any
We
external click in AI mode counts as a click in Search Console. You get impressions if your page appears in a Google AI response, AI overviews, or AI mode, it counts as an impression. And if they expand the AI overview, it also counts as an impression if it's in there somewhere. And position calculated like standard search results, AI mode does not appear as one position like AI overviews. Each component inside AI mode, link, image block, or carousel has its own position, depending on whether it qualifies under Google standard search rule elements. Most people in the industry don't understand how Google Search Console comprises position. It's always been like this mathematical formula. Like if you're in separate places on the page and one of them is number one, you'll still be like number 1.5 because it was also in the knowledge graph and also in like a people also ask because they calculated together. So I would tell everybody to go look at how they calculate position now related to AI mode. It sounds like
There's
we're going to
actually
get a lot of useless information.
well, there's actually a really cool Search Engine Land video. Barry Schwartz is in with a number of others, other people. Morty Orbstein is in there, and Glenn Gabe is in, talking about experiments he's done to see how Google Search Console actually figures out positioning. It's a great video to watch. It's about 19 minutes long. The first 13 or so minutes specifically about how Google Search Console treats data from AI mode and AI overviews. And here's the bad news. A click is a click. If you get a click in AI overview or an organic click, it's a click. If you get an impression, say you came up in the 10 blue links or you were expanded somehow in AI overviews, it's an impression, but there's no differentiation. So you don't know this was an AI click, an AI-driven click, an AI-driven
No.
impression. It's just your regular stats. Google has shown you this many times.
Here's the full quote from, because I had a partial quote in that article from Glenn. I'm going to do the full quote because it's important. Google is not grouping all links together as a block. Each listing will have its own position. Then links within carousels and image packs within AI mode will be grouped together like they would be in default SERPs. Also, follow-up questions will be like fresh queries, so position will start all over again from one. This is all great, but good luck trying to figure this out in GSC. We now have the 10 blue links, featured snippets, AIOs, and now AI mode all grouped together in the performance reporting under
There you
web
go.
search as one click or one impression. You have no idea where it came from, and Google's not giving us that information.
Now, it's not that they can't give us. I'm sure that they can differentiate it themselves, but we're not getting to see it yet.
Right. And we
And I hope
probably
yet to the
won't.
operative. I hope that's the operative, but I think you might be right. We probably won't.
Yeah, we probably won't. They still don't even have refers for some of the things like in Discover and stuff like that. I mean, they have it separated in GSC, but not like Google Analytics. So this leads us to the next part. Sorry, you probably have an intro for this, so I'll
Oh,
let
go
you
for
in.
it. You're in.
Oh no, so this leads us to the great decoupling. We've already talked about this, but as explained by a Googler, you and I kind of figured this out like a month ago before Google started talking about it. If you've noticed, you have a lot of impressions and not as many clicks, and you're not a news site where you have like one day of that. It's because you are being seen in all these places we just mentioned, like an expanded AI overview, but you didn't get the click from the AI overview. So if you're showing up in a lot of AI overviews, you're going to get a lot of impressions where you're not going to get a lot of clicks. My suggestion, Jim, tell me if you disagree, is I would find a good software that tracks these things, like Mark Traffican with Microsoft, I'm sorry, Microsoft SEO Clarity. They track AI overviews very well. We know that because we've read the research before. So you're going to need something to tell you when something is showing up in AI overviews. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for you to assess whether you have a lot of impressions and no clicks because there's a problem with your, say, your listing because it's not attracting people into your page, or it's simply that you're showing up in AI overviews and nobody notices the little clip on the right-hand side to click to your page or cares.
If you've seen starting sometime in say late March, mid-April, somewhere in that period, the purple line go upwards and the blue line go downwards substantially, where they were usually tracking close with each other before, you are a victim or a sufferer of the great decoupling. But like Christine says, moving forward, knowing that you're dealing with this decoupling, well, that's only a little bit of the information. What are actually the AI clicks? What are actually Tenbu link clicks? What can you improve? What you need more information to know what you need to work on. And hopefully that'll become available to us either through Google or through a third party. Serpicon, Ryan Jones's new tool is a good start. And he's improving it. I mean, like he'll say himself, it's only him and a few other people working on it. They're improving it radically. They just made a new update to it recently. So that's, I think, the closest tool I've seen that is a really good sort of out of the box, low cost way to track how Google sees your site in AI overviews, and he's going to be expanding it to Microsoft and other AIs in the future. But right now, that's it. That's what's on the market.
Yeah, and according to Martin from Google, at Google Search Central Live 25, Google, GS, he had an image of GSC impressions being way up and clicks down. Martin said, so yes, if things are being shown in AI overviews, you will probably see less clicks. There's also a light at the end of the tunnel. So likely your impressions are going to go up if you're in AI overviews or AI mode. Clicks are likely to stagnate or fall a bit, but this likely. But likely this might increase your conversions, which is pretty good, I think. Like you said, you have a couple of clients that that's happening, but that's e-commerce,
That's
not,
exactly right. For people
yeah.
who sell stuff, you're going to have better conversions because they got to go to you to get the stuff. But for people who push information, which is what how much of the data economy was
Yeah.
built on,
Yes.
and Google, you told people to build their businesses on this.
Yes.
You told them to. It's not going to be good, Martin. I love you, but this is not going to be good for those people.
And he's just reciting what the CEO has told everyone to say about this because he says it in every interview. But it's very true. And again, the controversy of this, if, like a lot of people in our industry go, Google doesn't owe you anything. They didn't. They didn't owe your site top placement for clicks,
We
right?
had the
That,
understanding.
yeah, we were mutual parasites in a good way. Sometimes parasites are good, right? We relied on Google for clicks and then we bought ads from Google. So Google got the
But they
benefit.
relied on us to give them the stuff that they were telling people, here it
Yeah.
is.
Yes, and also the product in Google has never been Google Search. It's been the websites that come up with search. That's why they always make you fix them and make them better so that they appear to be a good search engine. The idea now is though they trained on the content without permission and now are repurposing it in these AI overviews with very little opportunity to get a click I don't know now the state of the link in the overview, but we know for a while that was going back to Google. And then they tested not going back to Google, but I don't know right now where that's at. But the little clip on the right-hand side may show some websites on the right-hand column. But even then, you're still one of three, one of five, one of 10, one of 20. And so you're not going to necessarily get a click because someone already got their information that they needed from your information that they crawled and trained on, and now they just repurpose, and ahead of the click. I would advise people to get a digital strategist on board, not just like there's SEOs who do understand the entire complexity, like Jim and I do, of where you can surface and find other places where you can help replace that traffic.
Oh, absolutely. Although, if you're saying, I have for a second, and this is a great segue to our next story. I thought you were saying if we know where you'll surface in the AI world, and anyone who's telling you that is not telling you the truth.
Oh
It's
yeah, that no,
Wild
that's true.
West out there still.
Yeah, and actually the same prompt can generate completely different
Yeah.
answers. Yeah.
But if you've been around the block a lot, you know the digital environment and where productive venues are. For
Well, and
sure, for
also,
sure.
like I just told a client who's here in Vegas that they would do very well to have videos for their thing, right? And they don't do videos. People in their sector don't do videos, but videos are very, if you put them on a video watch page, you can get a lot of traffic out of those, out of the engine, because they have special placement for them. And they're also starting to bring those into either AI Overviews or AI Mode. I think it's AI Mode. So you have an opportunity. If your competitors are not doing videos, you do good videos, you can wind up. And most competitors, by the way, don't know to do AI video watch pages. You can't get indexed without the watch page. So it's a that's where the thing, like people that can strategize the search engines can help people regain traffic that they're losing through the AI overview itself.
Well, and that's pretty smart advice when you think about what people are wanting out of the web now. The web used to be a place where you'd go and research and get information and figure out what you were going to do in your day when you went out of the house and did stuff. Now the web itself is the experiential place. And videos, if you shoot them right, that's an experience for the watcher to not only enjoy but potentially immerse themselves in.
Yes, and remember, YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world after Google. So it
Is
can
it
go both
still? Is it
places.
actually? Is it, I we should look into that. It probably is still. It
It is,
probably
yeah.
absolutely is still.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's in a world where people aren't clicking on your pages, they will probably click on you giving them information in a different format that Google's happy to surface if you give Google or Bing the tools to surface it for you.
But one little thing I'm going to throw out there because most people don't know
Yeah,
this.
yeah.
If you create your content in PDFs as well, Google does not count it as a duplicate page, and it has a separate opportunity to surface in certain types of searches. So not everybody is going to be PDFing, but if you're an information page, your information site, and you have really good evergreen content, guides, things of that nature, you can make a PDF of it and have it linked from your main page, and that also can surface as a second piece of content.
Now, just in case you are really, really, really offended that large language models and other AIs are bottomless pits of information, and the information they're training on is your information without your permission, and you wanted to do something about that, we don't got good news for you. We got crappy news for you. A couple of months ago, 6 months ago, people started speculating on large language model dot txt files that you throw into your root and tell much like your robots text files, tell LLMs what they can and can't do. You can write all the LLM.txt files you want. No one's paying attention. Not
Exactly. And
currently.
if you want to prove it to yourself, just look at your log files and you'll see they never call the LLM TXT.
Yeah.
If you're having problems with the large language models DDoSing your site, which apparently happens quite frequently, they don't take them down, but people are really worried about it, or it's costing them a lot of money. Cloudflare has a solution for you where they honeypot a whole bunch of the visits from the large language model bots, so you don't get hammered and you don't wind up with big charges. Somebody the other day in SEO was saying they got charged an extra $1,000 this month, surely from the large language model bots hitting their site.
Well, that's interesting. You know what? I would like to if they could present some form of proof of that, I would love to report on that.
Oh yeah, we can report on it next week. They launched it. We mentioned it briefly like a couple 3 weeks ago,
Well,
you
yeah,
know,
but you just have,
5 years ago in our
you
time.
just attached a figure of $1,000 a month
Oh,
from a
that
small
person, yes.
business.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, I can't.
consequences.
I'll see if I can find it. Yeah, with somebody on Twitter in the industry.
Yeah, that's that is some serious consequences. We report on something that's theoretical, but then you attach something that actually happened to somebody. You know, that's
Yeah.
real.
I never thought about it doing that, but actually, yeah, of course. If you're paying by the traffic to your
Oh yeah,
site,
bandwidth
yeah.
costs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Google Merchant Center is setting up website reported auto feeds. That's actually very cool.
Yeah, this is very cool because the whole merchant center thing has just been so complicated for many people. And this will
But oh
actually,
my God, does it drive traffic?
yes, it very much so because it gives you all the special placements. But yeah, it's going to be, you're going to have to read the article because it's in Search Engine Roundtable, Barry Schwartz. But it is because they have a lot of details on how it works. But basically, you're going to set it up so it can auto feed it into the system and you don't have to worry about special sitemaps or special, feeds or anything like that. It will just grab it for you.
Yeah. This is integration through Tag Manager. But you're already using Tag Manager if you're using Merchant Center. So, yeah. This will save the uploading of fresh files. It'll just start doing it automatically.
And the nice thing too is it will do real-time local availability. I get that sometimes here in Vegas, and it's so nice because I have to go to like five different grocery stores to get everything because the prices differences are like dollars, they're not like cents. And so it's really nice if I can go ahead of time and look for this drink that I drink called Kavita, and it's not in stock most of the time, and it's only a few places that usually have it in stock, so I can look ahead of time and go, oh, it's in stock, I'll go to that store and get it, and that's the price, and it's always on sale at places, so that'll be really helpful for people who are using Merchant Center.
Okay. Google is expanding the number of ways you can enter AI mode. Now it's being put into the
It's in trending searches.
there you go.
Yeah, and people also, I think it's also, yeah, AI overviews and people also, it's AI overviews and people also ask. But Google is now testing AI mode within people also ask.
So give
So
you a series of questions which you can visibly explore further in AI mode.
I still say this goes to my theory because they keep putting it in places that it's not getting a lot of uptake. I could be totally wrong. We don't have numbers. Google will probably never tell us. But this is like the fourth placement I think we've heard about in the last like couple months, new placement. But yeah, it's weird though, because we already get so many of those questions. Like sometimes I've got like five sets of questions. Do I not want another set of questions? I don't know.
Here's the, I don't think Google's necessarily trying to pump its numbers of people using AI mode. I think it's trying to inform people they're going to be using AI mode because why wouldn't they just turn it on? Why would they tell you? I don't think they're trying to pump anything up. I think this is more of a we're informing them because if they're trying to pump up their numbers again, they would just do it.
Yeah, we'll see. That's a definite possible theory on what's happening. I just feel like when they're pumping it this much, that they're not getting the numbers. But also, he does eventually want to play search supposedly with AI mode, so that could be part of it too. I just think we have way too many search. These are those boxes where you have all the search things in them. It's just too many.
I had a really cool exploration this morning.
What's that?
There was a notice that went out. Barry put it out. That was one of the first things I saw when I got up this morning. Google URL structure help docs have been updated. Now that sounds really dry and dull and boring, but it's actually I'm really cool and I'm really into URL structure. It's
Yeah, same here.
one of my secret tricks actually. And so Google has updated its document. It's broken it down and made it easier to read, easier to use, easier to understand, and it's introduced new examples of how URLs might be structured, just sort of based on new ways we might track or put parameters onto the ends of URLs, and it better outlines what Google considers its best practices. Go check it out. There's a great deal to cover, but honestly, it's an update of the structure help document, and it's a good one. It's good to refresh yourself on. And I got to tell you, it was over my second cup of coffee this morning, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's got a
It's
lot of good
just for the sake of it.
information. It also has something new called Follow IETF STD 66, which is a standard, IETF standard 66. So you definitely want to read that because I'm pretty sure most SEOs don't know that abbreviation. So.
ChatGPT is updating to improve tracking and analytics with using UTM parameters. So you can set parameters. You can tell Google Analytics. Well, you can tell your URL to be visible in this certain way in your analytics software, Adobe, Google, Bing, etc. So that's kind of neat. You can.
So I have some confusion here. Maybe you can help me because I really am confused here. The UTM is set by you, correct?
Well, you set it on your URLs. So
But
if
you're
this
not.
URL was clicked out of a AI mode or a ChatGPT environment.
Then but the question is, you're not supposed to have your internal URLs with UTMs on them because they can mess up the analytics software. Google's been very adamant about that for years. So how does this work and not do that?
If all of your URLs throughout your entire website have extraneous tracking parameters on them, it's going to mess up Google's view of your website and analytics. So this is going to become a risk reward trade-off for webmasters.
Okay.
You do want to track this. You want to track when people go to your landing pages. But do you have to put this on every page in your website? No.
Oh, you
Is there
could,
a
yeah, I
page?
get you could, yeah, you could put it on your landing pages that Google doesn't ingest either. Like your landing pages should be blocked from Google, generally speaking. They should be separately designed. So
But
it's, and then they're already blocked from Google, so.
UTM source equals ChatGPT isn't necessarily a bad thing, although it does use by nature uses an underscore, which Google says we don't like.
Yeah, we're going to have to get some clarification, I think, on this because if you're using it on a live URL that Google's ingesting, it supposedly will hurt your analytics. And then, as you said, they don't like underscores. And the reason underscores are different than dashes is I don't think this has ever changed, but it could have because I've never heard them talk about it recently. But the underscore actually is a programmatic piece. So the dash isn't. The dash is just a dash, but the underscore actually links it all together. So it's not separated. So if you have like orange, mandarin oranges, right? And you put those together in underscore, Google will see it as all one thing, one piece, like it's in quotes. But if it has a dash, it'll see it as two words. So that's why they used to tell you not to use it. But I don't know if that advice has changed or not.
Okay, Google has made new updates. It's updating when local questions and answers will be displayed. This likely comes down to how queries are entered into Google and Google deciding whether it wants to give a local question answer or a AI overview.
Yeah, so Joy Hawkins, this is from Search Engine Roundtable. She said that they, when they do and do not show, it depends on the query. So Q&A shows on business in Google Search when you get a map pack and then click on a result. QA shows on businesses in Google Maps and all types of searches. QA does not show on search when you get a direct result or knowledge panel without getting a map pack. And then she gives some examples in the article, plus there are a bunch of images. So if you want to check it out on Search Engine Roundtable. Google updates when local questions and answers display.
And getting into the We Will Be Your Lifestyle service,
Yes.
this the holy grail of pretty much anything digital is personalization. And if we can make the product suit every user out there, well, that's 8 billion customers we're about to make a whole bunch of money off of. So, search in my entire career. The whole big holy grail that search has never actually fully gotten is personalized search. chatbots are, well, they're a lot. How to say this? If you want personalization in search, chatbots are the way to personalize things to individual users, absolutely. Although the result sets may or may not be questionable. ChatGPT is really moving into personalization by announcing it's testing support for Gmail and Google Calendar integration. So if you've got ChatGPT helping plan your life for you, it's not going to be reading all your Gmails and Google Calendar and figuring out the who's, what's, where's, and when's of your life.
Also, it'll be able to analyze email, create a response to email, turn emails into a story, and then make schedules directly from ChatGPT. Yeah. By the way, just so people understand, if you read a lot of ChatGPT or LLM content like Jim and I do, and you respond in an email using it, we're going to know most of the time. So try not to do your personal responses using
Although
the ChatGPT.
in the future, and I got some friends who are college professors, and they've been facing this question for a couple of years now, but now it's a reality. It's not no longer a question. What do you do when everyone's doing it?
Well, that's true. I'm just saying, on a personal level, your friend might, or parent, or employer might be a little offended if they think you used a chat bot to respond to a personal email.
They might, but
Yeah.
again, what do you do when everyone's doing it? How offended am I going to be when everyone under the age 20, when everyone under the age 30 is using bots to talk to me?
Yeah. We'll
I mean,
talk
I might
about
be
that.
offended, but how offended am I supposed to be? You
It
know?
does cause trust issues, you know. So just people might want to consider it. This is my personal feeling.
Anyway, ChatGPT has crossed this threshold, and there you go.
Yep, there you go. So now we're going to our fast stories. And did we catch everything up top, Jim? Did we miss anything important?
No, I'm pretty sure we hit pretty much all of it.
Okay, so we got to get through these quickly. So I'm going to start with this one. I don't think, just jump in if you have a comment. I'll ask you at the
Go.
end if you have anything. Google Messages catches up, delete for everyone feature rolls out. So you know how like you use Google Messages and you can only delete for you and not delete for everyone when you make a mistake or send the wrong message or put it in the wrong thing? Well, now, wrong chat, now you'll be able to delete for everyone. Thank you, Google, for catching up. I think that's been available in most messaging services for years. They also have a snooze component, so you can just snooze by pressing on that chat. It'll just automatically snooze it for a period of time, so you don't have to go on mute. So it's just a quick way to snooze the chat. Anything to say,
Okay.
Jim?
Nope, that's all good. Google Ads is testing a design with horizontal lines, sort of like filled halfway across the little ad space. It looks like a bar that's sort of filling in as, you know, a program download or something. It's not. It's just a line that only fills in halfway across the space. It's an eye catcher. They're testing to see how this works.
Yeah, Google's success with ads has been disguising that they're ads. This one's a little odd to me. Also, it's a little weird because it's like not just half a black line, but the other half is like a not filled in line.
Well,
So it's like a full.
again, it's like a little scroll as
Yeah.
your program's downloading.
Yeah, it's just a little odd. We'll see. We'll see. If it stays, we know it worked. The test worked. Bing tests dropping Microsoft name from the Bing search box. I think reported on like 2 months ago that they're dropping the Bing name from the search box. Now they're putting Bing back with the logo and removing Microsoft from the Bing search box.
Well, you know what? One of them is going to produce a better result than the other.
Exactly.
So,
Exactly.
you can't fool those folks at Microsoft. They do math.
You know, there's something called A/B testing that they could have done it all at the same time, I think. But anyway, Bing tests bold and colored hover styles on snippets and related searches. All it means is when you hover over it, it's just a different color. Some are orange and stuff. I did go to Google, Bing News today, I gotta tell you, Jim. Did not like the changes. Hopefully it's just a test. There's like a big carousel at the top that if I roll over it, like gets bigger and the news isn't
Story
like.
pops out at you, but you can't
Yeah.
actually read it till you click it.
Exactly. And it was very well organized before. I could get there were a lot of stories there that I could see from a glance. And it's not anymore. So anyway, that's not on our story list, but just wanted to mention it while we're talking about that change.
Okay.
Let's see. Google Business Profiles roll out a new interface for Google Posts. This is real simple. It's just a list view with that scrolls, which seems like just
Okay.
pretty good UI. So anything to say there?
Nope. This one is masked. Google Knowledge Panel buttons that are supposed to go to the URL about the stuff in the Knowledge Panel was extracted from are being directed to the wrong sites. This is noticed by Patrick Stocks, who works at Ahrefs. He noticed that Ahrefs' Knowledge Panel went to another unnamed site,
And that
and this was noticed by others as well.
Tom Critchlow spotted Love and Lemons going to an MX domain, not the .com. MX is your email. That's odd.
John Deere, the tractor maker, they got broken.
And then Gagan Gorta spotted Uber Eats going to Uber Eats, like an A after UberEats.com,
So
which
this was a domain that doesn't even exist.
no, it was a
A
404.
404.
Yeah, like a mistake. So where they're getting these from, obviously they're getting them from somewhere, because like the .mx is a email exchange. It wouldn't even be in Google. So yeah, so very weird, but I don't see any notice as fixed. Barry also wondered if it might be some sort of hack. I doubt it's probably a hack. I think
That's not a
it's
hack.
just,
No.
no, it's just something bad that Google rolled out, some sort of sourcing. Oh yeah, so
Okay,
check your knowledge panels. Make sure they're going to the right place.
so you ever been too lazy to read your own AI overviews? Google will read it for you. They're testing an audio overview reader.
I will say for accessibility, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
So if someone
Okay.
has accessibility issues, or if you're in the car and you want to hear, well, I don't know why you're searching in the car, but you might be searching by voice and want to hear it by voice. But yeah.
I'm just thinking of being on the subway and hearing these things read out from people
Oh
who
my
don't have
gosh.
headphones, who don't have the sense to wear headphones. That's what's
You know,
annoying
I
me.
have a theory on that. It says when the plugs change and you don't always have the adapter because you have an old headsets, that they just listen to it out loud. I think that's what happens.
You know what? Apple's lack of interoperability should not be my annoyance.
No, this is true. I totally agree. And then we have the Google search autocomplete with back to all. So basically, when you go to do a search and it drops down all that information and then it has related to recent searches on the second side, it will have a back to all to get you back to the results page.
Okay, and lastly, University System of Maryland and Google announced that students will have access to new online certificates in tech skills, including training on how to use artificial intelligence. Didn't we report that Google was making free training courses for people just a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, Google has some at the Google site, and they usually run through like Coursera or Udemy. I believe
So
Udemy. So.
assumably this is a higher level of courses, University System of Maryland.
Yeah, University of Maryland has a lot of programs. Like they have military programs overseas, and they have remote programs. So they're very good about trying to make education accessible. So I'm guessing this is along those lines.
Well, through USM, and I guess through Google's cooperation, you can get access to online certificates, so you don't even got to go to Maryland. Go to your living room at Tech Skills, training on how to use AI. It honestly, it never hurts to have another Google bug on your website or in your resume.
Yeah, and if you're trying to do better when it comes to as an SEO for search, understanding how the large language models and the AI work is super helpful because it's really easy to make assumptions because it will always give you an answer and it'll always be like super informative, but it may not be really informative. And you really need to know how those things work. So I think that'd be a great certificate. I don't know the cost. I don't know if it's free or not.
Well, would you do what Cliff Clavin told you to do?
What's that?
That's what it always comes down to. Remember the guy in the bar in Cheers,
Oh, yeah.
the posty guy?
Yeah.
He always knew everything. He was absolutely confident about his answer for everything, and he was often, actually, half the time he was right, but only half the time.
Exactly.
Okay, we made it. We're done. Full clock. We've actually gone way over four
Yay!
o'clock,
Gosh, here we
but
have, yeah.
luckily we weren't in the studio today. We've been soloing it. And so we did get the studio hook. Ha.
Yes, ha ha.
Okay. We do got to get going now. On behalf of Christine Chackager from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on Juneteenth, the 19th of June, 2025. Friends, remember, even in the greatest, darkest blanket of lies, a tiny pinpoint of truth. can change everything. People are, have respect for people around you. Have respect for their patience and for their time and for the stress that they're under these days. Be well, rank well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.